Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
The devil looks for equal access. He's always looking for a doorway into your life, and he uses relationships. Today I want to talk a little bit about soul ties, because they are divine relationships that God connects you with people to fulfill your destiny, but they can also lead you away from God's will and plan for your life. Now, a good soul tie was like the relationship between David and Saul's son, Jonathan. That relationship was to sustain David and to protect him while he was going through one of the greatest trials in his life. God will knit you together with the heart of people to fulfill his plan for your life and for your destiny. In fact, a soul tie is the knitting together of two or more people in a relationship, a strong relationship between people, and the influence that they have over each other's lives. But there's a good and there's a danger. In Proverbs 13 and 20, it says, "He that walks with wise men will become wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed." Now, the devil's going to do everything that he can through relationships to derail God's plan for your life. And this is something that we really have to stop being naive about. The devil wants to confuse you emotionally to alter your destiny. In fact, some of you have just tuned me out just now. Just now, you just tuned me out. But you know what the Lord said? He said he came and told Israel the truth, even though he knew that many would not hear it. But he wanted them to know what the truth was so that they would have no excuses. When the judgment time came, or when something happened to their lives, they wonder, well, what is this all about? You see, God wants us to develop spiritual discernment and establish boundaries to protect us from the enemy's attack against us. Because the devil will send people across your path to lead you right out of the will of God. Last time we talked about a young prophet who was deceived by a backslidden prophet to disobey God. It cost him not only his destiny, but his life. The devil will send people to cause you to doubt in your mind even the choices that God has made in your life, like for a spouse. You know it was God's will to marry that person, but when things start going wrong for so long, you say, I don't think it was God's will. This wasn't the person that God had for me, and you begin to look for another victim. The devil has us doubting about the jobs that God gave us, even the church that God planted you in. Folks, we are so dependent upon having relationships today and connecting with people. And this is the reason why we must obey the word of God when it comes to first being connected with him, loving him with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, so that you're not deceived through other relationships. We must follow God's boundaries in making our decisions and not our own feelings. Now, this is very interesting. There was a study, and it says that this study has shown in many social and biological systems, individuals rely on the observation of others to adapt their behaviors, revise their judgments, or make decisions. Well, this is exactly what the Bible is saying. The people that you connect with are people who have influence into your life. And that's why the Bible warns us, like in 1 Corinthians 15 and 33, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Don't think you can just hang around with people who are not living right and doing right and it not have an influence on your life. In Proverbs chapter 22 and 24, it says, don't befriend angry people or associate with hot-tempered people, or you will learn to be just like them and endanger your soul. Now, never forget this. In your relationships, God's purpose for relationships is always to support His plan for your life. Relationships are the doorway that the devil uses to destroy God's destiny for your life, to alter God's plan. God made us for relationships. I'm not saying don't have friends, don't have relationships. I'm saying be discerning. What is this person bringing into my life? God's not bringing people into your life to put you down. Hello? God says you're the head, not the tail. Sometimes we allow people who are jealous of us to have a place in our heart. And we wonder, why are they always against us? Why are they always speaking against us? Stop trying to figure it out and just get rid of them. Don't surround yourself with people who look at you differently than the way God looks at you. Now, we all need constructive criticism. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when people put you down constantly. You need to challenge that. And you need to tell them, look, you need to stop that or I just can't be around you. You've got to be discerning in your relationships because Satan is trying to derail God's purpose and plan for your life. Now, we are living in a time where relationships have gone wild. And you'll see what I'm talking about in just a minute. Facebook, the largest social media network in the world, has made it possible for people to connect almost anytime, day and night. Now listen to these statistics. Statistics show that over 1.28 billion people go to their Facebook page every day. The average user has at least 155 friends. However, they only include 28% of those friends to be close friends. Now, the article continues by saying the power of the like is used to influence people's thoughts and behavior. Are you listening to me? There have been 1.13 trillion likes pressed on Facebook since the feature was added. Folks, your relationships shape your thinking and your behavior. And so the Bible asks the question. It says, can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? See, the people that you maintain relationship with will influence you to accept things that perhaps you normally would refuse to accept. So you've got to be careful with the people that you're inviting into your life. Now, God has assigned a place for you. How many of you know that God has a purpose and a plan for your life? Let me see your hand. You believe that? All right, the Bible says, put your hands down. Before you were born, God knew you. And He assigned you as His spokesman to the world. The Bible says that God has a purpose and a plan for your life, a good plan. But I want to remind you that the devil also has a plan for your life. It's not a good plan.
Thank you for joining us for today's message. Starting this Sunday, Pastor Steve will lead us through a powerful new series from the book of Revelation. It's a message for the moment, and it starts this Sunday. Here's Pastor Steve.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. I'm beginning a new teaching series Sunday, May the 4th, titled Revelation, The Unveiling. I'm diving deep into one of the most mysterious, powerful, and talked about books in the entire Bible, the book of Revelation. Wars and rumors of wars, plagues, judgments, the rise of the Antichrist, the return of Christ. What does it all mean? Are we living in the last days? Join me every Sunday as we walk through the book of Revelation, verse by verse, unpacking prophecy, revealing truth, discovering what God has told us about the end of the age. If you've ever wondered about what's coming next, God is speaking through His Word. Come and hear what He is saying. Bring your family and bring your Bible. Revelation, the unveiling.
It all begins May 4th. Revelation, the unveiling. A journey into truth, hope, and what lies ahead. Don't miss these powerful Sunday services. The church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
The devil also has a plan for your life. It's not a good plan. And it's to go in the opposite direction of what God has for you. And so he's always trying to deceive us. He does it through our emotions. He does it through our relationships. Now, I'm going to say this because we're all in church today. God has assigned a church for you to be a part of. He assigned a pastor for your destiny, for spiritual growth, and to be blessed. Listen to what it says in the Bible in Psalm 92. It says, "Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." Jeremiah 3:15, "I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Now, folks, please, please understand, when we come to talking about the church and how God established the church, Jesus established the church specifically for spiritual reasons that he has. I'm saying this because many think they can substitute church by watching television or by having Bible studies or by simply having a home fellowship group. There are hundreds of thousands of Christians today who don't even attend church, who profess Christianity and say it's just really not necessary. But Hebrews chapter 10:24 says, "Let us think about each other and help each other to show love and do good deeds. And you should not stay away from church meetings, as some are doing." Even then they were doing it. "But you should meet together and encourage each other. Do this even more as you see the day of Christ approaching." We are in the last days. We need each other, folks. We need to continue to meet at the church, at the place of God. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, some try to spiritualize what Jesus said when he said, "I will build my church." They say, well, the church is the church. People are the church. In that verse, Jesus was talking about a congregation. He was talking about an assembly. He was talking about a place. In the New Testament, the people met at the temple, at the church. The Bible says in Acts 5:12, the apostles were performing many miracles, signs and wonders among the people, and all the people were meeting regularly at the temple in the area known as Solomon's Court. Jesus and the apostles always went to church or to the temple. In Luke chapter 4:16, when Jesus came to the village of Nazareth, he went as usual to the synagogue and stood up to read the scriptures. That was the church. The Apostle Paul in Acts 17:1, it says that he always went to the church. Paul and Silas then traveled through the towns and came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue service. Folks, listen. Jesus established spiritual authority in the church and through the church. And this was so that people would be protected from the enemy, from deception, and placed under a divine spiritual covering. The Bible tells us that God establishes authority. Now listen to what it says in Ephesians chapter 4:8. "Therefore," he says, "when he ascended on high," talking about Jesus, "he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And he," talking about Jesus himself, "gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Why? "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Compromise regarding the church is a deadly trap. It's a deceptive kiss. Can I just be blunt with you guys today? Nobody. I'm going to do it anyway. Jesus established the church. He didn't establish prayer meetings. He established the church. You need to continue to attend church because that is the way Jesus Christ established it. Now, if there's a debate about that, I'd love to hear your debate. But I've already read a bunch of scriptures. This message is not about that. I'm just passing through there. Because once again, Satan has deceptive kisses. People think that you can have better relationship outside of the church. Well, if that were so, God would have said that in His Word. This is something that people are saying. Listen, when we allow our emotions to rule our choices instead of God's Word, it brings us into deception. Hebrews chapter 4 and 12 says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit, and is able to discern the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." Folks, listen, how do we know something is true? We go to this word. We pick it up and we say, "Lord, what are you saying about this situation in my heart?" People want to live by their emotions and their heart. But the Bible tells us that your heart is deceitful. Listen to what it says in Jeremiah 17 and 9. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." Man, when you talk about following your heart and following your emotions, folks, you can easily be deceived by doing that. In fact, the same person who says they fell in love with a person is ready to divorce them in a year's time. What they thought was love all of a sudden was not love. And you know, it leaves many broken hearts and lives because when people give deceptive kisses that don't follow through with commitment, it leaves people hurting inside. Now, I want to just read a story in conclusion to you because this is an example of how an individual really went by their emotions and felt, hey, this is something I'm just impassioned about. This is something I've got to have. It was about a relationship. In 2 Samuel chapter 13, it's talking about Amnon. It was an improper relationship, but nevertheless, he was impassioned about it. It says, "Now David's son, Absalom, had a beautiful sister. Her name was Tamar. And Amnon, her half-brother, fell desperately in love with her." How many of you know the story? I'll keep reading. "Amnon became so obsessed with Tamar that he became sick. She was a virgin, and Amnon thought that he could never have her. But Amnon had a very crafty friend. And one day, he said to Amnon, 'What's the trouble? Why should the son of the king look so dejected morning after morning?' He said, 'I'm in love with Tamar, my brother's sister.' 'Well,' he said, 'I'll tell you what to do. Go back to bed, pretend that you're ill, and when your father comes to see you, ask if Tamar can come and prepare some food for you. Tell him you'll feel better if she prepares it for you, and if she will actually feed it to you.'" It goes on to say, "So Amnon laid down and pretended to be sick, and when the king came to see him, Amnon asked him, 'Please let my sister Tamar come and cook of my favorite dish as I watch. Then I can eat from her own hand.' So David agreed and sent Tamar to Amnon's house to prepare some food for him. When Tamar arrived at Amnon's house, she went to the place where he was lying down so that she could mix the food and he could watch her. Then she baked his favorite dish for him. But when she set the serving tray before him, he refused to eat. He sent everyone away. Then he said to Tamar, "Now bring the food into my bedroom and feed it to me right here." So she took him his favorite dish. But as she was feeding him, he grabbed her and demanded, "Come to bed with me, my darling sister." She cried out, "No, my brother, don't be foolish. Don't do this to me. Such wicked things are not done in Israel. Where could I go in my shame? And you could be called one of the greatest fools in Israel. Please just speak to the king about it and let him marry us. But Amnon wouldn't listen to her. And since he was stronger than her, he raped her. Then suddenly Amnon's love turned to hate. And he hated her even more than he loved her. And he said, "Get out of here. Get out of here." Tamar screamed, "No, no. Sending me away now is worse than what you've already done to me." But Amnon wouldn't listen, and he told the servant to get her out of here. Throw this woman out and lock the door behind her. The name of this sermon is Deceptive Kisses. Folks, what happens when something you think you want, you find out you really didn't want it? What do you do then? This was a horrible situation that happened to this young woman. It is not an isolated situation. Let the church say amen. It really isn't. The effect of deceptive kisses are devastating to the victim. Let me go on to the close. She was wearing a long, beautiful robe, as was the custom in those days for king's virgin daughters. But now she tore her robe and put ashes on her head, and she went out crying. And her brother Absalom saw her and asked, "Is it true that Amnon has been with you?" And he said to her, "Keep quiet for now, since he is your brother, but don't worry about it." So Tamar lived as a desolate woman in her brother's Absalom's house. Folks, when you allow yourself to be compromised in your moral views and things that are contrary to the scripture, things that violate the word of God, it results in putting you in bondage. There are people walking around now who are Christians who are in bondage because they're doing deceptive things and they think it's for the good. This morning, this message, Deceptive Kisses, is about relationships and how the devil will do his best to cause you to do something different than what the Word of God says. One of the things that will protect you in all relationships is to establish boundaries. And that first boundary is the first commandment. Love God more than everyone else. Do what the Word of God says for you to do, and you will never have a problem. Because as you stand for God's word, He will stand for you. Kisses will continue to be deceptive, but God's word will always be true.
Thank you for joining us again today for A Place to Grow. If you would like to get a copy of today's message, you can download it for free by going to our website, aplacetogrow.org. Navigate to the Media tab and click on Audio Messages. You can also help us keep this radio ministry alive by making a donation on our website as well. That's aplacetogrow.org. Today's message is part two of Deceptive Kisses. Now, Pastor Steve would like to pray with you.
Lord, you said, "Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open." And so, Lord, right now we are asking that you would help us, that you would intervene in what's happening right now. Father, I know there's some listener right now who is in trouble, who is in despair, who is even depressed, and we're praying right now for their total deliverance.
we bind and we cast out every spirit of heaviness. You said, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And Lord, so we praise you now for the answer to their need. Give them faith, give them courage, give them hope. Thank you for your love. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you were touched by today's message. We are honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hurst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR.